your host, Hector. Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that has into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. And we're back with a classic episode of the podcast. Jason and Ian are back on this episode, so we do some catching up. We give some recommendations, so I won't keep you from all the fun. I just want to say thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode of the Mind Grenade podcast. Casey's?
Yeah, I feel like Casey's is really, they'll dial in on their clientele.
It's like a hangout spot.
It is. Yeah.
The pizza's, I mean, I can't talk shit about the pizza, really.
Yeah. It's pretty decent for gas station pizza. Yeah. It's pretty damn good. Yeah, they got sandwiches there.
Yeah, you know? It's terrible. Like, even right. Like I had pork tenderloin sandwich there one time. I just grabbed it as I was going through there.
If we could,
that's okay.
If I could replace,
no, special. I mean, I get people swear by the breakfast pizza. It's pretty good.
If I could replace the cafeteria at the hospital with Casey's, yeah, I'd probably do it. Heartbeat, yeah,
especially when they bring out food like all weekend.
Contact Casey's store corporate and tell them they should start catering.
Yeah, Casey's
to, like,
catering
and stuff. Yeah,
you can order like a 20 gallons of gas, 5 gallons of sweet tea.
I don't know. You cater gasoline. That's probably the best. I don't know how that would work.
What was
two large pizza?
Hello, hello, hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Let's see here. Was it a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they were trying to, like,
yes,
take
I always
giant
think
barrels
about
of gas?
Yeah. It's just a 55-gallon trash can full of, like,
gasoline.
Loose gas that's splashing all over.
I think that was the episode where Charlie was a wild card.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a classic one. Yeah.
That's awesome. Because
they were trying to, like, be an analog for the A-team. Like, every team like that has to have a wild card. So Charlie was the wild card.
He's like, nice. I cut the brakes.
Yeah.
Wild card.
And he jumps out of the van. Boy, have you guys seen the I'm sure Jason has seen it, but have you seen the Napoleon trailer?
I have. It looks good with Joaquin Phoenix,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I looked at the Killers of the Flower Moon, it's already been out and it's been making plenty of money in the reviews, and it's probably gonna be at the Oscars or whatever. But it seems like Scorsese, his last couple movies, like The Irishman, they're like fucking three and a half hour long epics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, he's a great director, and I hear this movie's pretty good, The Killers of the Flower Moon. But man, like, I just, it's always like a negotiation with myself, trying to figure out, it's like, do I have 3.5 hours worth of attention for, you know, and the Napoleon one, though, is Ridley Scott, which is a director I really enjoy as well. Mm-hmm. And Joaquin Phoenix, that Joker movie. I don't know if I would have liked it as much if it wasn't Joaquin Phoenix, because he was incredible in that movie.
He made that movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I got Ridley Scott and Napoleon, and Joaquin Phoenix. This movie is like 2.5 hours long. And I think I am going to go see it in the theater.
That's the sweet spot I think you're looking for something like that. Where, you know, maybe it's like a little bit of a gamble. Not a lot. I mean, certainly in your favor that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But at least you're not like, it's good, but way too long. Mm-hmm. And you feel like the movie theater's holding you hostage in there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to know, you know, at what point they decided not to go with Tom Cruise as Napoleon.
With
his height thing.
Yeah,
I
was wondering
what
that's where you're going.
A shoe-in for it, but...
Yeah, he'd be trying to jump out of planes.
Yeah, they're like, there's no planes then.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's like a hot air balloon. Is that around back then?
He's
like,
looking for any extreme stunt to do.
Mm-hmm. It's like, my Napoleon has planes.
He's doing parkour off the horses.
Wow. And then they could make that into a 4-hour movie. Speaking of
at least 2 hours of just him reloading his muzzle
and musket. Yeah. The actress that's in Napoleon was in the Mission Impossible movies, a blonde British actress, Vanessa Kirby. She's really good. I like her a lot. And she's in this Napoleon movie. I guess she plays the female lead in it. And it looks fucking great.
This is about when Napoleon first made his ice cream, right? The Neapolitan ice cream. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I thought that's who was behind that. Yeah. I always...
You hear rumors of it. You're never quite sure, but, you know, finally they'll
have a movie. I always wonder. Now we know. Mm-hmm. The subject matter is great. Like, this is something I'm also interested in. So it's like the perfect combo of... It's I guess what I'm trying to, like, get at here is, like, the length of a movie. Because, like, 3.5-hour movies are becoming more common, it seems, these days. And for me, it really depends on... like a number of things, like the subject matter. Like this Napoleon movie, apparently, I guess the last Napoleon movie they made was like decades ago, and it only had one battle, like they focus, like historic battle that they focus on. This one apparently has like 6 fucking battles in it.
Jesus. Yeah, it looks like it covers like his entire rise to being an emperor.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
So it looks really excited for this
one. I'm excited too because I like that time period. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that much about the history of that. Like you obviously you know who Napoleon is and kind of some of his conquests, and he was like a great general and all that.
Really good at making heavy cream,
right? Yes,
and turning it into a really tasty good at treat. Churning.
But yeah, I mean, like it wasn't like beat into our head at an early age in school, in school history class,
right? Yeah, it looks great. This weird phase that we're in with movies where, like, they're being released. This is going to have a theatrical release for a couple weeks. Then it's going to appear 3 weeks later on this streaming platform. And then it's going to come back with a director's cut in the theater. Like, apparently this one's going to have a director, like a 4-hour director's cut. And Ridley Scott's trying to figure out how he wants to, what he would like to do.
No one's asking for it, but he's going to put it out there.
It seems like directors get that in their head. Yeah.
There's like one person like emailing him. We would really like this director's cut. Yeah. Like, the people want the director's cut.
Yeah. But it's this multi-tiered kind of release schedule that movies are getting now. It's rare that a movie just comes out in a theater. And then months later, it gets a, like, big movies. And then months later, it gets a streaming release or digital, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's like, there's that Godzilla movie that I'm fucking so stoked for. It's Godzilla Minus One. It's the Japanese produced one. That one's being released in Japan. I think it's already out in Japan. And it gets a theatrical release here December 1st. And the drawback with that is that then on the internet, shit's going to get spoiled. If there's stuff to be spoiled, if you're releasing a movie in this, like multi-tiered that way, like, oh, it's going to be streaming and then it's going to be this, then there's more likelihood that you're going to get shit spoiled because it's already been out.
That's definitely true. If there's, something good, like a good spoiler in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're... read the internet or go around, especially in like the pop culture sites.
They're gonna... quick to put it right out there.
Oh,
Yeah.
I should make a movie and do a Jason cut on it. And then, but just make, I'll make the movie. It'll be good. And then I'll do the Jason cut. I'll be super excited with, but what it'll be, it'll just be all the times the actors and actresses and everybody fucked up. And I'll just use those scenes instead of the real scenes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'll just be nothing but just mess ups throughout the entire movie and bloopers. Should I add them at the end of the real scene so the same scene just keeps going over and over again to make it 4 hours long? So it'll be like the real scene and the same scene messed up and the same scene messed up again.
You should another cut them scene. In, not at the end. You should cut them in within the movie.
Right, right. Yeah. Within the movie.
So it's like a weird Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. And then the next scene, you just see this random stagehand walking with a cup of coffee just through the.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
And at the end, you just put, like, time.
Time?
Yeah. And Tom Cruise is also in the movie.
Mm-hmm. But he's not actually in the movie. He just shows up just for fun to visit. The camera just cuts to him. He's just sitting in a director's chair and just waves just in the middle of the movie. It'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where would you get the funding for that? I'm really curious.
A Kickstarter.
I just need somebody with a lot of money that's really dumb to fund that movie for me. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Tom Cruise is also going to be, you know, your investor for it.
I thought you were going to say Tom Cruise is also really dumb. And I was like, that's not very nice of you. First you call him short, now you call him really dumb.
He's going to come beat me up.
Okay.
He definitely can beat me up. Yeah.
Parkour you in the face.
Yeah, he just parkours off my face for sure.
We'll put that in the movie.
He'll go
too.
Horse my face and then back down to the ground.
Yeah. And then they turn it into a GIF and it'll live forever on the internet.
It'll be
and
in the Jason cut for sure.
And he's definitely, he'll scream parkour while he does it.
That would be great. He's got to say parkour whenever he does a parkour.
That's how you know it's parkour. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Unless he say you don't know what it is. Could be gymnastics.
Yeah, wasn't that in an Austin Powers where he, like, when he judo chops somebody, he says judo chop?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I sent you a trailer for The Killer. Did I send you a trailer for that? It's a Netflix movie. It's a David Fincher film. Let me see if I got my So David Fincher directed Fight Club and Seven and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. He did some TV shows on Netflix. It's like a murder serial killer TV show. I'll try to think of the name of it. But he's got this movie coming out called The Killer, and it's based on a graphic novel from France about a hitman. And it's got Michael Fassbender, and it looks fucking great, man.
Is there anything you're going to be interested in watching? Like,
oh man, I'm so excited for this one. Probably as much as I am for this Godzilla movie. It's because Fight Club is one of my favorite movies of all time. But what else did he do? He did Seven.
I'm just surprised he's only releasing it on streaming with Netflix. He must have paid him pretty well.
He's done a couple. He must have a good relationship with Netflix because he's got a couple films that have gone direct. I think Mank was one of them. Let me try to find his filmography here. But you know, there's a lot of shit talking on Netflix because apparently, which I understand, all these streaming services are raising their prices. Mm-hmm. But then you go on Netflix and it's just a bunch. I mean, you have to sift through a lot of shit.
Yeah, you really do. I don't know.
Here we go. Okay, so The Killer, starring Michael Fassbender, the director of Seven, Fight Club, Panic Room, Gone Girl, Zodiac, The Social Network, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That's a fucking impressive
already,
filmography.
Yeah.
I really like all those movies.
And I might be leaving one or two out. But he did Manhunter series on, and he did some, one of the producers on Love, Death, and Robots, the anthology, animated anthology on Netflix. But this movie, I found out about this because, like, again, like, I love his filmography. And I found out that this movie is based on a, so in France, the graphic novels and the comics are called bande dessinée, which is how Japanese called their comics manga. In France, they called their comics bande dessinée. I missed the French word. Okay. So there's a English translation of it that I found on Comixology that was free with my subscription on Comixology. So I started reading it, and it's like volumes and volumes and volumes of it of this like serial killer. I keep saying serial killer. He's not a serial killer. He's a killer, but he's like a hitman.
He's very cold
and calculated, and it starts to it's psychologically there's something off with him. Like he's trying to like just like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know what? Yes, I do remember this now. Yeah.
Okay, the trailer, right? Yeah. He's just trying to, like, this is a job, and I've got a goal, and I just can't bring in empathy or anything about, you know? So it's one of those things where it's like, it seems like the movie, and the book's this way, too, where it's like this internal struggle to just, like,
kind of
keep it, like, completely cold and professional, but then stuff starts to get complicated. And Michael Fassbender is a fucking great actor. I mean, you know, it's a shame that the one thing with the Marvel stuff where they're going to recast all the X-Men and they're going to try to get the X-Men movies going is that Michael Fassbender was a great Magneto. Ian McKellen was also great.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Now they're going to have to recast. When, like, it'd be great if they would have just kept Michael Fassbender, even though he did like 4 or 5 of those movies, those X-Men movies. But if we can like somehow clone him from like 10 years ago and bring him into the Marvel movies and keep him as Magneto, because he's a serious actor and he took that role very seriously.
He really did play it justice. He like captured that perfect balance between like, I don't know, like that evil, but yet still like good leaning in some aspects. Like he was good, but like to the point where he believed in his beliefs so much that it like twisted evil, which I think it really captured the nuances for Magneto.
Yeah, because
he said horrible things happened to him over the years.
So you understand his
You don't agree with the way his direction, but you understand how he came to those conclusions.
And those are the best villains, as opposed to like somebody they just throw on screen and they're like, "This guy's bad because he's bad. He's such a bad man."
Jason want to spank
when,
him
when they give him depth and like stuff that you can be like, "Oh, I understand. Like this is fucked up, but I understand where this person got to this point." Like that is the best villain for sure.
Yeah.
Or antagonist or whatever you want to call them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's another good example of a villain like that?
That's
Magneto-esque.
We talk about Mark with Thanos, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one that was like I immediately go to, but it's funny when they try to like do that to really despicable villains or villains where you're just like you've already solidified it in your head that they're just pure evil, but then they try to give them some kind of like understanding, the Hannibal series, Hannibal Lecter, which the Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal and some of the other movies, but then they did a prequel to it that wasn't very popular, and they try to make him you understand what you know, but I don't know. I like sometimes when they have. Vader is the one where, like, I get it and understand it to give that because that character had a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun that period of time where we just thought he was
just pure evil.
And you know, and sometimes they do a good job. They make the actual bad guy the protagonist.
Yeah,
and so in ways you almost feel like you're siding with them and. Yeah. A show that I think of is like Dexter with Michael C. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, his character was sort of there was bad guys in that show to where, you know, because he killed killers, right? But it really, he kind of was the underlying villain in that entire thing, especially the way it ended with the new series. So, and I'm not going to go into any details with it, but I mean, essentially, he kind of was a villain that you were following during the show. Kind of because things... You know, people that were generally good in that show got hurt, and it was kind of indirectly or directly related to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you could really think of him as a villain that almost at times you were rooting for.
Yeah.
So
that's an interesting take, I think. Now you got me thinking again about Godzilla, because this new Godzilla movie, the Toho produced one, in contrast with the American ones that we've been getting, the Godzilla versus Kong and King of the Monsters and all this stuff, which I really enjoy, but they'll make him kind of an anti-hero, this giant monster lizard thing that just decides to come in and destroy cities. Like the American versions have been trying to make him an anti-hero, but this the hype behind this minus one Godzilla movie, which is what it's called, Godzilla Minus One. The early reviews I've heard is that he's just fucking angry the entire time and destructive and like they're just full on making him just
he's
a force
back
of nature.
To his grassroots.
Which they're saying that this is probably going to be the best one. And you know, I've been thinking about this. Like, it's my same argument with like Star Trek or some other like pieces of franchises and pieces of IP that I really enjoy, like Star Trek's the best example, where it's like the bulk, there's so much Star Trek out there that the bulk of it is not that great, but a percent, like a 10% or 20% of it or 30% of it is fucking fantastic, that it keeps the fandom alive. Godzilla is the same way. There's like 30 or like 35 Godzilla movies. That first one, which is the iconic one, the 1954 one. And then from then on, then they turn into giant wrestling fights with giant dudes dressed in monster suits fighting each other. And it's just silly. So then you got all those. And then you got that one from the 90s that came out, that American version one, which is a piece of shit too. And then like in 2016, they had that Shin Godzilla, which was got back to like real serious kind of take on it. Because that first one, that first 1954 one was like a commentary on nuclear, warfare.
Right. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and how that affects a population and whatnot. So it was based on real societal stuff,
mm-hmm.
kind of an allegory on. But then it devolves right away into just fucking like ridiculousness.
Two nukes having a wrestling match.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's just ridiculous. And then in recent years, they've kind of like, you know, so you've got like 35 movies where only like four or five of them can be taken seriously. But it's kept the franchise alive this long.
That's impressive. I did not realize that there was that many.
Yeah, and they're awesome. They devolve into like, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, we're Americans are with our pop culture are guilty of it too. But the Japanese are very guilty of like silliness with stuff. Like their game shows are always just over the top and insane. Gosh, yeah. So like, you know, I'm excited because when I was a kid, I looked at the Godzilla franchise and all those movies as like, oh my God, what if this really happened? And there's this giant monster that just came through and the trailer for this Minus One movie looks that way, like a real serious take on, because it takes place right after the nuclear bomb strike, that we dropped the nuclear bombs in Japan. So they just got nuked twice, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And then however, the short period of time after that, then a giant fucking kaiju decides to just come in. And it's not only just a kaiju just like lumbering through the city, knocking shit over. It's fucking angry.
Yeah.
You see that trailer. There's not one shot of that trailer, right? Where he doesn't look like he's pissed.
And you're right. Like that, we like American versions of those movies. We do like to make them like, oh, they're animals or they're creatures like King Kong.
Yeah.
They're not all bad.
Yeah.
No, we did that with King Kong a little bit, where he kind of does some of the, you know, because like, oh, he's just animal. Oh, you know what? Like Jurassic Park, the T-Rex.
Yes.
The T-Rex has those moments, like in the hero shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end where he grabs the raptor to save the people, and then he's like, he's just fucking doing that. He's not doing
high fives the raptor.
Yeah, yeah. And then so like, and then and some of the new ones, he's the one that takes out that I don't remember what they called it, the dinosaur they create genetically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like he's the, oh, here's the T-Rex again.
We
got to
position
the
mindless monster to just be on our side somehow. It's exciting. This new movie, I'm really stoked for it. And I'm glad it's going to be out in theaters. It's just funny how we decide to like, we do that with like characters like the Punisher, or you know, where he's just a stone cold killer, but now we got to make him an anti-hero, which is fine. It's cool to, what's the whole like a breakdown that you see it on like nerds talk about it, or on online where it's like chaotic evil or blah 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 blah. It's like, you know what I'm talking about, where they break down like different
characters. Yeah, it's
characters.
Like the D&D-esque, like where you sit mm-hmm. in your stances in life.
Right.
Where you're like good, like you said, or neutral. Or
yeah, neutral. Whole, yeah. Like the Joker would be a chaotic evil, right?
Yeah.
Like he's just like, he doesn't know. I mean, he just does shit. And,
yeah.
But
I mean, he's the sociopath. Like
Yeah. When they try to make him a good guy, or, you know, try to make it understandable, then it takes away from what makes that character interesting, I think. But yeah.
Which is, it's funny you bring that up because, like, yeah, he is the perfect example of something that's, like, chaotic evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is, I've only played a few sessions of D&D, but there's always people that want to play as, like, chaotic evil in the D&D session.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that fundamentally can't work because you can't have teamwork in a fun game. Yeah. That's truly being chaotic
wild
evil.
Wild card!
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, that's right. Every moment is just like, wild card, bitches!
God damn it. You never get anything done with this
guy around, yeah. What are the other ones? So, like, there's, like, more, like, calculated evil, I guess. Like, somebody, like, in Star Wars... Grand Admiral Thrawn.
I think it's like there's like lawful evil.
Yeah,
right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I find that interesting too, like a Grand Admiral Thrawn character in an Ahsoka or just in Star Wars, where he is the bad guy, but he's super calculated. And then like one thing I read about that character, because I only know that character from the Ahsoka TV show. I know the character's been around since the 90s in the extended universe. But apparently, like, one of the differences between him and somebody like Vader is that the people under Vader are in complete fucking fear of the guy. Like, he rules that way.
Right.
Where, like, Grand Admiral Thrawn earns the respect of the people under him.
Yep.
So they're both getting what they want, but by a different means. And so that makes it very interesting as well, I thought. But... anyway, do you guys any we can get into some recommendations? Anything you guys have been watching or?
Yeah, you know, before that, I just noticed that. Did you guys know that there's a Jon Snow Game of Thrones show that's in development right now?
Mm-mm. I'd heard. This isn't a joke, right?
This is not a joke.
I was waiting for a punchline.
No. I know. I can set stuff up very seriously sometimes. No, it's like apparently it's from what I can see and read that this is like really happening. Like as of right now, it could get shut down. HBO is a little bit of talk about chaos, a little bit of a weird mess right now. But
right now, yeah.
So, but yeah, that would be, and it seems like they're going to bring back some of these old actors and actresses from the original and try to do a continuation of his story. So I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, if it's done well, I think I'm here for it, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, aren't they going to do a spinoff of Game of Thrones? But they already have.
House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
So this will be like a sequel, so we'll go forward in time instead of back in time with this one.
Oh, so they could have that same actor?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Kit Harington.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I heard about... Stranger Things spinoff, and yeah, it's all spinoffs these days. The Walking Dead is essentially just all spinoffs at this point, right?
We're just getting dizzy now. Yeah,
yeah. Spin me right round. The House of Dragons. I think we brought this up when Dennis was on the show, where like we got this. We came out of the pandemic, but then we have these writers and actor strikes. But then these TV shows are in the middle of like seasons. The Lord of the Rings TV show. Who knows when we're gonna get another season of that?
Yeah.
Like that can be another couple of years. Like we'll have to fucking like watch videos to get recaps.
Do you think that's becoming like a big problem with shows? I guess, and I feel like this is a recent phenomenon. We're mm-hmm. taking 2, 3, 4 years mm-hmm. to come out with sequels to things. And you're right. By the time it comes out, you're like, one, do I even care anymore? Mm-hmm. Two, do I really want to invest the time to re-get into and rediscover like what brought me joy in that first season?
Yeah, there's definitely an element of that. Because even when if you are really captured by the first season of a show, it just kind of fades away. You know what I mean? That energy or that passion you had for whatever you watched, you're like, oh, I remember really liking this. I kind of don't remember what happened, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, like, and you're like, okay, I think, I don't know, maybe I should probably check it out.
That's got to be really tough for, like, showrunners, right? Because part of the initial momentum from that is, like, you're riding that wave, that hype, that mm-hmm. kind of phenomenon. Like, Wednesday, for example, you know, like, super stoked about that when it came out. Everyone loved it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we're looking at like 2+ years before we get a second season. I think they just read online they had some actors quit out, mm-hmm. so they're gonna have to reshoot. you know, what are they gonna, are they just gonna replace them
right
forward? So, you know, like, and something like that, that's prime, like, you know, it doesn't have huge followings. Mm-hmm. It's certainly riding like a hype wave.
Right. So to sustain that hype. Yeah. Yeah,
like 2 years from now, is that, you know, then you run the risk of that show has to be fucking good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going to go, eh, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was, came out 6 months, a year from then, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably like, oh, well, you know, it's not as good as the first one, but I'm still going to keep watching it because I still kind of ride in the hype.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about short series, right? Like when you know you're going into it, you're getting a complete thing. And it's too bad that it's such a rarity that a show is developed and actually has a plan for 4 seasons, or has a plan for, and maybe they do, but it seldom ever gets greenlit or financed for it.
For sure. Yeah.
And if you did that, if you had the confidence to do that, you might end up with better stuff.
Yeah.
But and nobody wants to make
money, right?
Yeah, nobody wants to do that because they're too scared.
If you're an actor too, or like a bunch of actors, you don't want to, you know, commit to 4 seasons at $10,000 an episode, and all of a sudden it blows up. You're like, fuck, I could have been
turning down other jobs because you're gonna be, you just decided to be really, doing this for 4 years.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
So, but then as the studio, you don't want to like commit to paying someone like, okay, we know this is going to be big. We're going to pay you, you know, $500,000 an episode.
Yeah.
And then it just bombs and you're on the hook for all this money.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's an interesting,
especially
dynamic.
These super expensive looking shows like, like the Lord of the Rings show or the Game of Thrones show. What's that? Foundation? Is that the name of that sci-fi show you've been watching?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That looks fucking expensive.
It kind of does. Yeah.
Apple TV, they're kind of getting, speaking of momentum, they're getting good momentum. They got I'm just going to not apologize for it. That Godzilla show, Monarch Legacy of Monsters, apparently getting decent fucking, you wouldn't expect that. It's a good time to be a Godzilla fan because they got the Godzilla Minus One. They got this TV series. They got that Godzilla versus Kong sequel coming out in April. Like, who would have guessed?
I feel like it's under talked about because if there wasn't people watching it and have fallen for it, they wouldn't make those.
But they do.
They're making multiple of them, and they're making movies, they're making shows.
Yeah.
I mean, three or four years ago, if you would have said, oh, you know, HBO is going to be on the decline, and Apple and Peacock from NBC is going to be on the incline, I'd be like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah. No, it's very weird. You're right. 100% right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched more things on Peacock recently than anything else.
Yeah, it's just, you just never know what's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, once you start gaining a reputation of show after show where it's at least decent or really good, then people will start noticing and by word
talk
of mouth,
about it,
they'll watch that show and then they'll be more inclined to trust. Because, you know, some of the HBO as success goes on that I gained a trust in HBO that I had a high percentage of something they put out of it being at least decent.
You would check out their new stuff because they've built enough
credit.
We've
talked about that before on previous ones like that. Oh, HBO was the best with the best shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have like Tombstone, Sopranos.
Right. They've really kind of, I mean, at least in my eyes, I log on there now just out of habit and I'm like, man, there's like nothing.
And they've really weakened their reputation with what all this murder and things they've been, the direction they've been going. And I think if they make the right moves, they can regain that. Mm-hmm. But right now, I mean,
do you know what's going on like with that whole merger? Like what's the deal? Like, are they cutting stuff? Are they?
It seems like it. They went through and they cut several shows, and some of the shows they cut ended up with, you know, I mentioned before, like Minx, like they cut that and then someone else got it and they went to Stars and it was successful in its second season. So I don't know. I don't know if there's some sort of financial stuff that we didn't know about that they're just like, hey, we just got to cut costs and rebuild. I don't know.
If it's anything like Disney, what Disney's been going through lately, it has a lot to do with switching whoever's at the top. Like the person on the way out decides to be like, oh, fuck it, I don't care anymore. And they just let shit go to shit. And then the new person comes in and tries to get their bearings and figure shit out.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched the stuff on... I've not watched South Park, but there's some stuff going viral about Kathleen Kennedy, who's been running Lucasfilm.
No, I haven't seen it.
Since the merger, since Disney bought Lucasfilm, however many years, probably been close to 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Kathleen Kennedy is essentially the Kevin Feige of the Lucasfilm stuff. So Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And they had an episode. South Park's new season is called The Panderverse.
I did see that, and I was like, well, this makes me want to watch it.
So they changed all the characters into women, people of color, you know, like all of them. So there's like no white people, you know, in this like version of the South Park called the Panderverse. So you can tell where their angle's coming from, Matt and Trey. And they have Cartman as Kathleen Kennedy. And she's telling everyone at the board meetings, put a chick in it, make her gay, and then also make it lame. So you like, I mean, they're going after Kathleen. Yeah, like, you know, and they're like, they show a scene of making they're filming a new Bambi movie or whatever, like whatever, you know. Like, and then Cartman as Kathleen Kennedy comes in while they're filming, goes, what the hell's going on? It's like, no, put a chick in it, make her, he's all, but this is about a deer and like a rabbit, you know? No. And, so they're really, going after Kathleen Kennedy, which, they kind of have a point, cause that Indiana Jones movie also kind of, they were, it seems like that was the formula. It's like, put a chick in it, make her gay, and then make it lame. And it's like, me personally, I don't care if they put, like, I had no problem when they had Rey become the lead in the Star Wars movies. I don't care about that. But it just seems like it's funny. Like, that seems the pattern of Kathleen Kennedy's, like, choices in making the movies is like, okay, we have to, like, force this stuff into it at the detriment of the overall.
Rather than being naturally inclusive.
Yes, exactly. The my example always of, naturally being inclusive is the Spider-Man movies, the Homecoming, and because it's very inclusive, but they're not like, it doesn't feel like they hate white people in the process. It's just naturally, Peter Parker lives in Queens, and of course in Queens there's going to be plenty of diversity, people of color, gay people, everything, you know? So naturally that movie should reflect that. But when you're like forcing it into, you know, stuff, it's just like, you can tell, when it's forced. And, apparently like Kathleen Kennedy's been getting the wrath of Matt and Trey, who Matt and Trey seem to have gotten grandfathered into, they can just say whatever the fuck they want, it seems, without getting canceled. Because they just got grandfathered into it. They've always been that way.
Yeah.
Where they just go after anybody. But that's the thing, too, is that they're not picking sides. They go after everybody.
That is the thing, right? That they don't have an agenda. Whenever they see something, they just...
They make fun of everybody.
Yeah, they comment on it. Yeah.
Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah.
Then years ago, I think Tom Cruise tried to sue them.
Oh, yeah. They had some great memes from that one, for sure.
Yeah. But it was cracking me up.
I still haven't even seen the new Indiana Jones is still not out on streaming on Disney.
I would think it just
dropped. I mean, I looked like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was not out.
Yeah, because I'll watch it.
I'll watch it when it comes streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's taking its sweet time to get out.
Yeah, there's that. There's something else too that I'm like, it's gotta be out now. Oppenheimer should be coming out soon.
Dude, no, they're re-releasing it again.
I think, in theaters. Theater. Yes.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Yeah. That's, when we started this recording, I brought up the length of movies. I didn't feel the length of that movie. I enjoyed that movie from, like, beginning to end. There's slow parts in it, but I think there's a scene in it where, like, Casey Affleck's in it playing some kind of, like, shady kind of government military guy. That was a little slow, but that's just a small part of the movie. Yeah. But other than that, that's a great movie experience.
Agreed.
Movie theater experience.
You just brought up Star Wars. I keep derailing our recommendations here. This is the last time. I saw there's a guy that passed away recently. I think it was a guy in Industrial Light and Magic, the old special effects company that did, you know, Star Wars and some of these other movies. When a guy passed away, and they found a bunch of stuff like in his garage and basement and stuff. And one of the thing was the Luke Skywalker X-wing that was used in the movies, like the model. You know, they used a lot of models with back like dark backlit, and they would get the close up shots. And these models would have working lights in the whole bit, so you could put a camera up close to it and it looked like a real starship. And they found one of the original. Actually, I think it just is the original Luke Skywalker X-wing just sitting in his garage. You guys want to guess what it auctioned off for? They sold it.
Like $500,000?
$3 million.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. $3 million.
There's some real Star Wars nerds with a lot of
money.
Oh,
for sure. That's no doubt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jason, how many offers did you put in on that?
I was like, I'll give you a dollar.
Jason's going to make one out of Lego.
Yeah, he's already.
They're like, this isn't Price is Right. And it's like, $1.
Yeah. Those Lego sets that you've, because you did one recently, a Pac-Man video
that
game.
That was really cool. Yeah,
the actual, it was the arcade,
like an arcade cabinet. Yeah,
cabinet of, but built with Legos. Yeah, that was so cool. Unless anybody has some recommendations that you want to get out.
I got one thing to talk about. It's a game.
It's
a new one that just came out called Return to Moria. I've been following it for a while.
Yeah.
So it's a survival-based kind of like game, kind of like Minecraft-esque a little bit. The one thing that this has that a lot of other survival games is not is that it actually is like licensed, franchised with, for real, like Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I don't know how much they spent to do this. This is kind of a smaller studio. It kind of got shat on reviews-wise. I think a lot of the reviews are saying it's kind of too linear and doesn't have a lot of, like, the free open world stuff that a lot of that survival game has.
A lot of the Lord of the Rings games in recent years are that way.
Right. Open, so it's a little bit more structured with that. But, one of the fun things that John Rhys Davies does, he voices Gimli in the game too, which is pretty crazy that he, was willing to come back and do voiceover for it.
Nice.
It's really fun. For me, I've probably put maybe 6-7 hours into it so far. Not like a ton, but a fair amount of hours. It's for someone that has kind of been out of games for a while, coming back in, I've really enjoyed it. You can play co-op with up to 4 friends on it. It is a little more linear, but for someone that wants that structure and doesn't want some massive free open world kind of game, it's been a blast. You're in these mines discovering, you're trying to upgrade your equipment and your weapons, and you're finding, it's got different lore from the universe in there. And this is set in like the fourth age, I think it is. So it's, it's after they've destroyed the ring. So it's Gimli going back to Khazad-dûm, which is like Moria, to basically reclaim it. So there were hopes were that after the ring was destroyed, that everything would scatter, but there's still a ton of like orcs and goblins. Khazad-dûm.
That's a cool time period. Yeah, set it in.
So
awesome. What are you playing this on?
A PC.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
What's it called?
It's called Return to Moria.
Return?
Yeah, Return to Moria.
Okay. A dungeon scrawler based in Middle Earth seems like a great idea. I'm surprised they haven't done it sooner.
I just really wonder how much it cost them to get the licensing for it. I'm sure it was a ton of money.
Yeah.
I think it'll be more polished, 6 months, a year from now. I think they probably... could have refined it. It doesn't have the best graphics. It doesn't have the best anything. It doesn't have some novel new play style. So I think that's some of where it kind of got crapped on. But it's been fun. I really enjoyed playing it.
It's going to be on the PlayStation 5 in December and then on the Xbox in 2024.
So if you're a fan of survival games, and really like, even you would have to be a fan of Lord of the Rings to really get enjoyment out of it. Otherwise, it's not going to appeal to you as much.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, and you're right. Like, some people get a little overwhelmed by as open, like, say, Zelda Breath of the Wild, that open. Like, they want the game to have some sort of real direction to it to kind of guide them along. And I don't blame them. Like, yeah, so, like, there's something to be said about good quality games that kind of drive for you.
I'm down for either. Yeah. Like, I can be in the mood for one or the other, depending, you know. But what did you have there, Jason?
I can do one that I didn't care for. I could stick with Peacock. The one that I didn't care for that much, believe it or not, is Strays. With it's the movie with the animals with Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm usually here for like over the top grotesque humor and potty humor and all that stuff, but I watched the movie and I was like, it's more like amusing than it is really funny.
All right.
And I just like. I don't know. I think it's a skippable movie, really. Yeah. It might be a movie like if you're just like drinking with friends and you want to have something on. It would be a real good movie for that. Okay. Other than that, like, whatever.
What did it get? Rotten Tomatoes. I know it got crapped on pretty bad.
Huh.
I don't really know what the Rotten Tomatoes
If I remember correctly, I just remember like middling kind of.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's an R-rated.
Yeah, way better than I thought. It's a 54.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad. Like, I wouldn't expect
69
more.
On the audience
69,
score.
Dude. I had forgotten about that one, but I'd still like to watch something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not as good as Homeward Bound?
More F-bombs?
I thought that movie was scary as hell. It was such a great horror movie, Homeward Bound. No, I'm just kidding. No. Actually, speaking of horror movies, I can do this one. Five Nights at Freddy's. That's on. I'm pretty sure I watched that on Peacock as well. So we talked about video games. This is a good segue.
Yeah.
So a movie based on a horror video game, Five Nights at Freddy's. I thought this was a decent movie. I think one of this movie's qualities is also what takes away from it is that this movie is obviously has. What it wants to do, it wants to brand, and you can tell it wants to help brand this franchise a little bit because it spends a lot of time on the backstory, which is pretty good. Like, I love the horror animatronic thing. Like, you went to Showbiz or Chuck E. Cheese, which is kind of like the inspiration of this as a kid. Those things are kind of creepy. They were fun, but they were creepy as shit as well. Mm-hmm. So I really love the idea behind this. I think this movie was a PG-13. Now, Megan, that was also on Peacock for a while, was PG-13. I talked about how good of a movie that is. Megan is a sci-fi thriller more so than it is a horror movie. So I think Megan gets away with holding back more than this movie is. Because this movie is a straight up horror, and yet it still holds back.
Okay.
And I think Five Nights at Freddy's could have been a really good horror movie if they just would have went for it. If they would have went for it, I really think this could have been a great horror movie. But they didn't go for it. They held back. It's still, I think it's still worth watching if you like the video games or stuff like that. It's still a pretty decent movie. But man, like it left, I watched that movie. I was like, wow, if they just, they would have leaned into that, man, that could have been a great horror movie. But still good. Still, I still like went away and like was glad I watched it a little more so than Strays. But yeah, I do recommend that. Especially, I think it is a little geared to, they wanted to gear it so that, an older, like high school, junior high audience could also watch it. And I understand that. It's based on a video game and stuff like that. So I understand the branding they were doing with this. So I think it would be, if you have older kids that are kind of horror movie fans, I think this would be a great thing to sit down and watch with them. Because I think you could get a younger audience in, or somebody who doesn't necessarily really like horror stuff, because it is horror, but it kind of walks that line. You know what I mean?
So sense, though, that they did that, because the only reason I know of the Five Nights at Freddy's was from some younger people at work talked about the game. Like, what is that? And then, so I think that's been a big kind of like cult following game with the younger generation.
It won the box office.
Yeah. So exactly. So they, I mean, they were branding towards their audience, and and that's understandable. But you know, as I don't want to call myself an old man. That was very nice at all. But as an old, I was like, oh dude, like, cause somebody who could sit down and watch a real horror movie, I was like, oh man, like I would have liked to have seen what this was like if they just would have went for it, but still enjoyed it for sure.
because it got really high audience score, a low critic score, it also just kicked ass at the box office. So the prediction is that movie studio, especially Mario this past year, earlier this year, video games are going to start adapting video games like crazy at this point now. Good or bad, they're just going to keep putting them out because they're
getting better at it. I don't want to say they were like horrible at it before, but
yeah,
they just took those, I don't know, video game movies at a weird direction
in the
early 2000s.
I think what they're doing to their benefit now is paying attention to the fan base.
Yeah.
Rather than just like putting something out.
They went from, we're going to make this video game movie and we're going to try and win an Oscar.
Yeah. Are you fucking serious? Like, right. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was sticking with Peacock. Did I ever talk about Twisted Metal on here? I watched this a while ago.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I watched this a while ago, and I don't think I ever talked about it.
Speaking about video game movies.
Yeah, it's good. I know. I just keep finding my own segues. I'm running my own segues in my head here.
Like PlayStation 1, right? Like
Yeah.
Wow, it takes me back, yeah.
So Anthony Mackie, right? So from the Marvel Universe. This is more of a fun watch than it is a good watch. So with that being said, that it's just like you have this... They expand the video game, which is basically cars shooting and destroying each other, right? I mean, there's not a lot. And they kind of do a little bit of a backstory where you got to get this. The society has fallen apart. You've got these walled cities, and in between the walled cities, you've just kind of got chaos, right? And so these guys run supplies between these cities, and Anthony Mackie plays one of those. And so these cars that are gunned and everything else are running these. And so that's kind of how they build the story. What I appreciate about the show in an aspect is it doesn't really have any, like, there's no lessons to be learned in this movie. There's no political angles of this movie.
Nice.
It is just a ride. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. And so, you know, it's just that it kind of almost refreshing now. And sometimes it's just to watch a movie that's just made to just put on a show for you and just be fun. And that's basically all this show is. It provides enough depth to its characters. To make it decent. So I don't know. I would recommend it if somebody enjoys it. I think, was it Will Arnett?
Yeah, Will Arnett does the voice of Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth is fucking fantastic in this. He's that character, and Anthony Mackie's character is good too, but man, that Sweet Tooth character, I fell in love with that character, and I think that's what made me enjoy this show even more. I loved that character, the Will Arnett, and then I can't remember, it's like a wrestler or something that actually plays the physical character.
Right.
So, you know, if you like complicated emotions or twists and turns in a show, this is not a show for you, but I mean, it just entertains you and it's fun.
Again, to Ian's point, it's like you're making a adaptation to a TV show from a video game. You're not trying. Why try to go for an Oscar? Like, if you get an Oscar for it, that's awesome. But yeah, like it doesn't all have to be super deep and, you know, and have a message or some kind of political bent on it. Yeah,
you know, and I'm watching it, and instead of like thinking deeply about, I wonder, I'm just like, when's Sweet Tooth going to set his head on fire? When's Sweet Tooth going to set his head on fire? Like, yeah! And it's like, that's how I watch the movie, you know, the show. So
it's 10 episodes. It's on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. Thomas Hayden Church is in it.
Yeah.
Jason Mantzoukas.
Yes. Jason Mantzoukas plays a character in this show.
Yeah.
Almost forgot about that. Yeah.
We're getting close to the end here. Looking forward to the rest of the year here. Maybe not the very next episode we do together, but close to it. I'd like to do again a recap of all the stuff this past year that we've really liked. The Mario movie is an example. Oppenheimer I brought up earlier. It's crazy because Patrick Stewart's Picard season 3 happened this year, and I really enjoyed that.
Yep.
Let's see. The Mandalorian season 3 happened this year. It's crazy. It seems like forever ago, right? Doesn't it seem like that? This is a long time ago. Across the Spider-Verse.
Wheel of Time, second season was excellent.
Wheel of Time.
There's been quite a few shows out there. We had like a great stretch of shows for like a month and a half. That was like awesome. Maybe it was 2 months, but
yeah. Earlier on in the year, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was a highlight. So
I love that movie.
Yeah. So one of the upcoming episodes where it's the three of us will kind of do an episode where we kind of do a recap of our favorite stuff of the year.
Sounds good.
I've been wanting to try to post along with the episodes in the show notes some of my Spotify playlists, and music wise, Lana put out an album this year, and I'll probably bring up her one or two of her songs off that album. But one of my favorite things, which you guys are probably tired of hearing me talk about, is the Scaring the Hose Volume 1, the JPEG Mafia, Danny Brown album that came out this year. That'll be definitely brought up when we do our year-ender episode. I'm going to put up the Spotify playlist that I curated on this episode, if anybody's interested in that. And it's just a mix of my favorite songs off of Scaring the Hose and some random JPEG Mafia songs. And random Danny Brown songs. Danny Brown's got a podcast, and I'm so glad he's got a podcast. Like, not every rapper or musician or actor or, you know, comedians seem to really do well with podcasts. But, like, not everybody should have a podcast, I don't think. But Danny Brown is one of them that I'm so glad he's got a podcast going, and the Danny Brown Show. But anyway, yeah, so that's something to look forward to before the end of the year. But it's crazy, all the stuff I just rattled off of the past year, but there's still 2 months left in the year. And like I brought up at the beginning of the podcast, yeah, I'm super excited for Godzilla Minus One, super excited for The Killer on Netflix. I'll have to resubscribe to Netflix for that. And can you think of anything, Jason, that's coming up before the end of the year that you're excited for as well? I just don't want to leave anything out.
Albums. Chris Stapleton's going to drop soon. Oh. In This Moment just dropped an album. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of anything. Right at the turn of the year, Green Day's putting out Saviors in January.
Okay, they just released the singles, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, pretty stoked stuff. It's sad though too that they pushed back so many movies for the strike that's been happening, because Dune was supposed to come out this year, but they pushed that back, and so that's a shame. But still, there's cool shit. Are you down to go with me to go watch Godzilla when that comes out?
Yeah, sure.
In the theater? Yeah, I'm really stoked for that. So I think that's it, guys. Well, unless you guys have anything else, I'm in no rush.
No, I don't think so. I do believe we forgot to do an introduction.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm going to do it on the other side. I really just wanted to just sit down. I really wasn't going to even bring up recommendations. I just didn't want to exclude it entirely.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do an episode where we just sat down and shot the shit for a while, which pretty much worked out that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, Fred, everybody kind of knows your name by now that's listening
to the
podcast.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fred Farter, that's me.
That's you. Yeah.
All right, so we'll call it an episode, and then I'll add an intro in front of this, because I just wanted to not have too much of an agenda. You know, actually, on the way out, let's I want to find out what you guys think of this, because I've been trying to work in a, speaking of comedians with good podcasts, Mark Norman and Sam Morrell have a podcast called We Might Be Drunk, and they drink during their podcast. And their only segment is pet peeves. And the last episode they did was called Peeve Heavy, because they really go into it. And I listened to it last night. It was fantastic. Fantastic episode.
Okay.
On this podcast, I've always been wanting to do a similar thing, but name it Airing of Grievances. And it's just complaints and pet peeves. It's essentially the same segment where we just point out, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, don't you hate when somebody does this or whatever? My thing is, one of the ones I have is, what are your thoughts on people that go out in public in pajama pants.
I don't know. I feel like that is a very Midwest thing.
Yeah,
like it happens way more in the Midwest than like West Coast, East Coast. Like if you're, I'm not saying it doesn't happen there,
right?
But the statistical probability of you going out and seeing someone in pajama pants, I feel like is much higher in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like my wife brought this up recently. She's like, you would be shocked how many people, because one day my kids usually ride the bus home from school, but on certain days we have to pick them up early to get them to gymnastics. Right. So on those days, it's just like, you wouldn't believe, cause she usually picks them up, takes them, how many people are picking up their kids in pajama pants. And at first I was like, oh, you know, when we pick up our youngest from preschool in the morning, she goes, no, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, people in pajamas picking up. I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? She's like, oh yeah, every day, every time, every single time. People are picking up their kids at 3:30 in the afternoon in pajamas.
There's a lot of emotions that go on when you see someone in pajama pants, right? Because at one part you're like, good for you, like you don't give a shit what other people think.
Yeah.
Right? But then there's part of you, it's like, man, what the fuck? Like that's kind of weird. Like
my thing is you gotta have standards. Like, okay, the likelihood of you ever seeing me out in pajama pants out in public is fucking almost zero. There's going to be exceptions if I got to rush to the hospital because I'm taking somebody. So there's exceptions, but the likely, like this, I mean, there's something wrong if you see me out in pajama pants, but I get what you're saying. It's like, oh, this person, like I've got some of that. Like, I don't care what other people think, but like, I can't take someone seriously. if they're out wearing pajama pants, like it's the same with,
They're out in their Grinch stole Christmas pants in June.
Yes, and like, yeah, and it's always some pattern like a SpongeBob SquarePants. It's like you're a fucking 35-year-old adult. What the fuck are you doing outside wearing? And the same goes for people who wear baseball caps backwards. Like I can't take anything you like. If you're my boss and you're coming up to me and you're wearing a backwards baseball cap and wearing pajama pants, the likelihood of me respecting you is very low.
Like, what if the backwards hat is a propeller hat?
That too, yeah.
Does that help?
No. Yeah, no, not at all. That goes down.
And their pants are on backwards.
yeah.
And they're like, make you want to jump.
Yeah. Wow, old man. Yeah, you earned
it. Oh, yeah, that, you definitely earned that.
Crisscross, make you want to.
Boy.
Pajama pants make you wanna.
So that was one of my airing of grievances. So, we'll call it an episode. I do like the idea of pet peeves, just to kind of get stuff out there. But let's see. For all things Mind Grenade, like a feed of the podcast, my art gallery, they can all be found at mindgrenadestudios.com. I will put the playlist, my Spotify playlist, in the show notes there if you guys are interested in some JPEG Mafia, Danny Brown stuff. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Jason, Ian, and a parkouring Tom Cruise Napoleon saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.